Good Sunday morning to everyone. We are in our Shazam room this morning.
Yes.
And you have to go back and look at the program called Shazam to learn what that is. But it's really our prayer room.
Yes.
And we have company this weekend, so we had to kind of get some place where we could close the door and not be interrupted accidentally. But anyway, say hello, Linda.
Hello. Good morning, everybody.
So our topic this morning, the title of it is Grace is Not Stupid. And I'm just going to read the introductory. Grace is not stupid. Don't misunderstand. I totally believe in grace, mercy, and forgiveness from myself to others. But there are those who will take advantage of our forgiving attitude. And sometimes the correct response is no. Linda and I have both experienced these persons in our lives. We've learned that we need to set boundaries, else we become enablers for those who need to become more mature and disciplined. And so Linda and I would like to share with you some signs that you maybe need to say no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I think we talked about that last week, about healthy boundaries, but we kind of preached on the subject. But this time we're just kind of like, you know, it is great for us to give grace to others and show kindness and love. But when does that impinge on
responsibility?
Yes.
You know, one of the things that works for me is to think of my time
mm-hmm.
and my resources as investments.
Yes.
Because they really are. I'm a steward of all the blessings that God gives us, whether it's financial or whatever the case may be. And so one of the ways I try to decide, am I going to help this person? Am I going to, you know, give them my time or money or whatever the case may be, is it a wise investment? Am I going to see a return? And by return, I mean nothing for me, but that I see some growth or somebody gets to a place where they are independent and they just need some help to get there. And I have, you know, I love helping those people. But then there are other people who, and we both have these people in our lives who, you know, about once a quarter, you know, they'll give you a call and go, hey, you know, I'm struggling with time and trouble making my rent. Can you loan me, you know, and they say loan, but they don't really mean loan.
No.
They mean give.
Yeah.
Mean $300. And the truth is, we have done that multiple times.
And it's not because that we don't mind doing it.
Yeah, it's not about the money. If we have it, and God's blessed us, then we're more than willing to share. But it's about, is this person taking care of their business? You know, sometimes people need help. I've needed help.
I've
been in places where it's been rare, fortunately for me, but I'll never forget having to ask a couple times, and it wasn't easy to ask.
And when you have to ask, and you don't do it all the time, it is nice to have the grace of that person to say, hey, sure, I'll help you, and for them to be kind
mm-hmm.
and respectful that, you know, you're probably in a hard spot and you're asking, and that really isn't the people that we're talking about. Because sometimes we feel like grace is kindness and benevolence on somebody, because God is graceful to us whether we deserve it or not. I guess that is one of the definitions, his unmerited favor on us. It's his kindness, his loving kindness to us that we actually don't all the time deserve, you know. And I do feel like grace can be two ways. Grace can be that you say no to somebody. My mom used to say, grace, no is a grace word sometimes. And we don't often see life in that way, that no can be a grace word for some people.
No can be the best answer we can give people sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just take a young person. Let's, you know, I'm not picking on young people, but they're the ones who are learning, and they're, you know, and let's say, you know, some young person has got their first job, and boy, they just think the money's going to roll in, and then they wake up and realize, realize I got to pay utilities, and, you know, and this is the first apartment. And, you know, I want to help those folks. What I do not want to do is have them in a dependent on me, you know, where they are counting on me every month to help them make ends meet, because that's not good for them.
No, it's not. And sometimes I think that is when grace is enough. Like, you do it the first time and maybe even the second time, but when you see a pattern happening, people ask or need help, like maybe they've overspent. Let's use that same young person.
Mm-hmm.
They've overspent for the last 3 months, knowing that they have to pay their rent, and they just, like, Mom and Dad, you'll be that fall person for us. I think grace being no, I can't help you that this time. You have to figure it out. But every month, you've come to it.
You're going to have to learn to make the adjustments.
And sometimes that's when no becomes a grace word, and it is unmerited favor. Actually, if people don't think about that, to help people learn to be responsible for us, because God doesn't always say yes to us.
Right.
And that no sometimes is a period of grace for us. It's been a lot of times when God said no to me, or maybe he didn't say no, he said not now. And in that period of not now, I learned. I might have fallen on my face, but I got up, and by his grace, I became stronger through that. And I'm sure other people could witness. So really, when he said no or not now, that was his grace on me.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he did that so that you would grow.
Right.
So that you would maybe have to exercise some spiritual muscles or whatever the case may be to get to a place. One of my favorite sayings is, you don't give a BB gun to a six-year-old. And sometimes the Lord says, no, you're not ready for this.
And sometimes I feel like we can stunt our children or other people's growth when we just give or fix it every time or come to their rescue, when that may be really a period that you're interfering, because God is trying to teach this person something. There's a lesson to be learned through that hardship. And that's difficult for us, but, you know, how many hardships I've come through because of mistakes I have made, that I had to own that I've made those mistakes.
And you learned.
And I learned and grew from them, and had I not gone through them, probably would have went through something even more drastic in years to come. So we have to see also that when things don't go our way, when we meet difficulty, when it seems like God is not hearing us and we're stuck in situations, that it's not even always no. Maybe he's saying wait and learn and walk through this, because you're going to build up so much character, so much knowledge, so much wisdom, that at a later time, what you build up from that will be used for a lifetime.
One of the things, this is a new thing for me. It's a Davism that's growing. I have Davisms. And one of the things the Lord has been showing me, for me personally, maybe it's not for everybody, but for me personally, that I now believe that 90% of my spiritual growth and experience is to build empathy. So, you know, so that I can understand what somebody else is going through, and what the struggle feels like, and, you know, whether it's a child, or maybe it's a divorce, or maybe it's financially tough times, where you can, I've been there, I know what that feels like, and the Lord has taken me there and let me walk through that and experience the consequences of my choices and all those things. And now I can counsel or help somebody else because I understand what's going on and how it feels. So let's talk about our culture for a few minutes, because it's good and bad. You know, I was raised Southern Baptist, you know, and there's this thing of, well, you should, you know, if you're a Christian, you always say yes. And there's this thing of, you know, well, this is what it looks like. You sacrifice for others. And I agree with that. Or I agree that that's your attitude. That should be your attitude. But again, and this is what we're talking about this morning, there are times when you need to resist all the peer pressure, everybody going, well, you got the money, why aren't you helping me? You know, you hard-hearted person, you know, and you kind of have to be strong enough in your personal relationship with the Lord and your prayer time, you know, because you need to pray about it, and make sure, you know, and ask the Lord to resist all the cultural pressure of what we're supposed to look like and act like as Christians and say, no, I'm not going to help you this time because you need to understand that you've made a choice and that you're going to experience consequences of those choices. And I've helped you four times before, and you're still doing it. So this time, you're going to have to walk through this. You're going to have to face the bill collector or whatever the case may be, you know.
And that's hard to do because I think it's difficult for us to, and it's not being confrontational, it's being wise. The Lord says, be gentle as dove
and wise as a
serpent. So meaning that he really expects wisdom to guide our way in life. And that one of my prayers is that you give me wisdom, Lord. More than riches or money, I want wisdom because that will bring you to all these other things. And even when helping family members, you know, and I think about children or family members who have drug problems, because I've been through that, you cannot always say yes. This is to their detriment. If you're feeding their addiction, you can't say yes when they ask for money. You just can't.
Yeah.
Or when, you know, things come up missing or, you know, those kind of things, you got to kind of bring it up to them. And there has to be, it's loving to say no when you're helping somebody face life. Because
yeah.
They are in an unreal world because of addiction, mental illness, or whatever. We all have those family members, even friends or whatever. If you said yes to every request, it wouldn't be wise because it's to their detriment.
So they're going to take the resources you've made available to them and continue to make bad choices.
Right.
Because there's no consequence. You know, they can always come back to you and go, hey, can I have some more? Can I have some more? Can I have some more? And I tell you, there are people out there, and I know these, I have one in my life, who are masters at manipulation and guilt. And they know your weaknesses. They know how to play you. And that's when it gets tough because it's hard to watch a loved one go through a hard time. It's difficult, especially when you know you could write a check.
Right. It is very difficult. But writing a check for, you know, when you get somebody with an addiction, and I hate it, but I'm just saying, when you get somebody you know has an addiction money, it's no other place that money is going to go but to buy drugs. So how are you helping them? You know, you're not helping them mature. You're not helping them. You are feeding their drug problem.
Right.
And so that's a time when no is a grace word. It's a loving, what do they call, tough love.
Yep.
When you deal with people that maybe sometimes even have mental illness. There's people out there that have family members that have mental illness. You cannot say yes to every request from them. It's just, you're not helping them. You're feeding the problem. So you do have to use wisdom, and no is a loving grace word, and it's okay.
So here's some techniques. One, you know, to help you make those decisions of when it's yes and when it's no. One is, do you want to be part of what's going on? Because just as when Linda goes out to minister, as she did yesterday, because I'm her partner, I'm part of that ministry, whether I'm there or not, because I'm her support, you know, in some form or fashion. Maybe sometimes it's just prayer support, but I'm her partner. And so when she goes out, I'm making an investment as well. I'm giving up her presence in my life for that period of time when I'd like for her to be around so we could go see a movie or goof around. But she's out, she's ministering. She's counseling and teaching and sharing her gifts with others. I get credit for that. And spiritually, I get credit for that. It's pretty cool. And you talk about a great investment. You know, well, the same thing goes when you are helping someone. Remember, you're part, you become part of what they're doing. And it's a little different way to look at it, I think. So if I'm feeding someone and I'm giving them money and I know they have an addiction, I become part of that bad situation. And I don't want to be part of it. So that's one way to ask yourself, do I want to be part of this?
Right, that's good. I think the second thing is, you know, watch the patterns, because that's a very telling sign. When, like, if somebody asks you something one time, I feel like it's a good thing. It's great to go ahead and give it one, you know, that time, or maybe even a second time. When you get to the third or fourth time and it's pretty much the same thing, it's pretty much the same story, it's a pattern, then you know that there's a problem and you have to break free from the pattern. And again, I think that one of the wise things to do is this a pattern? Is this, like you said, something I want to be a part of? And you have to ask me, is this helping them or hurting them? And not look at the moment, but look at the long range. Is this going to be a help to this person? Is this going to help them grow? This is going to be a positive experience for them. This is going to help them long range. Or is this going to hurt them? Like, I give them this money now and just feed their drug problem, so they're having a drug problem for a few more years versus.
Yeah, so we're looking at. And what I'm trying to help our listeners and remind myself as well is how do I determine is yes or no?
Right.
So one is, do you want to be part of whatever's going on? Because once you contribute,
you're part of it.
That's one. The other one is, like you said, is it a pattern? Do they come to you every quarter or every month? Or
every
even
couple of weeks.
Or even once a year, you can count on them that in January, you know, they're going to, you know, want something because they think you got your income tax return or something. I don't know.
Right.
Well, those are all bad signs.
And what is your reason for helping them?
Good.
Sometimes
we
help because of remorse, or you feel bad for the person in their situation, but removing that feeling, what is the purpose that you're helping them for? You know, your why. Why are you doing it?
What's your motive?
Are you doing it to get the praise? Are you doing it because you're guilt? You feel guilt-ridden and you feel sad. You know, what are you doing it for? And if it's all those kind of, you know, that is the kind of, those are kind of selfish reasons, it's even more loving and kind to say, well, but no way this is helping them. When you go over the whole situation and look at it and you say, there's no, if this is not beneficial in any way,
right,
there's no recoil, there's no way that this is beneficial, then I think you do have to kind of ask yourself, especially when it's a loved one, it's your child, it's your brother, it's your sister, whatever, you have to go, and then what are they needing it for? What is the reason that they need that? And is that really true? You know, you got to ask yourself, what are they needing it for, and is it really true? Because sometimes people can be very manipulative, and a lie will always present itself in the story. You know, you just have to open your eyes and look at it.
So let's go back. So one is, I lost my train of thought. So signs. One is it periodic? Is it regular? You know,
right.
If it is, then they need to make some adjustments.
Is there a pattern?
Number two is, like you said, what is your motive? Are you doing it so you get a pat on the back? And by the way, guys, here's a little side item that Linda and I are trying to practice. Anonymous will help you avoid doing it for credit.
Yeah, and it's nothing wrong with getting credit. It's just that sometimes that feeds the ego versus
right.
The whole purpose of giving sometimes. And if
right.
It's feeding your ego, just do it anonymously. You know,
yeah.
it just...
And so we started trying to kind of do the anonymous just to be sure, just to be safe, kind of,
yeah.
And we're not doing it for the wrong reasons, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's one. Here's another one, and Lynette and I both have this. Do you only hear from this person when they want something?
Oh, that's a big one. That is a big one.
I'm not going to pick on anybody, but, you know, we have a pattern. I'm not even going to say whether it's my side or Linda's side or whatever. We're, you know, we'll hear from somebody, and we can almost count. You know, they'll call, how you doing, what's up, you know, and they'll touch base with you, and we can almost time it. 2 weeks later, we'll get the call for, hey, can you help me out? And then we won't hear from them again until the next time. And it's tough.
It is tough because sometimes, you know, it's situations where you do want to help. And I do feel like sometimes you have to pray about it. And I don't want to forget about that. That's the most important thing. Pray about it. Let God direct you into whether or not you should help. He should be, actually, that's number one. Pray about the situation. Let him give you guidance on whether or not to help. But also use these other tools with that, you know. And then I think after you've kind of gone through your processes, if you feel comfortable, and I always say this, talk it over with somebody else. Like if you just feel like somebody you trust, not somebody that necessarily is going to say yes and pat you on the back for it, but somebody who's going to have a candid conversation with you and question you openly and honestly. So talk to somebody about it, especially in those times when you are struggling with a decision. Trust and believe with, or discuss it with somebody that you really value their opinion.
Someone that you know loves you enough to tell you what you might not want to hear.
Right. Yes.
Here's another sign. Are they using others to get you?
Yes.
Let me give you an example. I've got five kids, you know, and I'm working and da 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 da. You don't want these kids to not have, you know, new school clothes. Those are tough. You know, because you're thinking, oh, these kids. Well, the truth is, they had the money, and they chose to take a vacation.
Right. And, you know, again, that's, you have to choose, if you, you know, whether or not. But I do feel like sometimes you just have to say, especially when that pattern, that's the big thing to me. When it is a pattern, I don't mind helping anybody and giving to anybody generously when they really need it.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, we love to do that. But when it's their pattern, when you become part of their payment and their crutch, when they depend on your part to pay the rent or whatever, it's
something
not helpful. It's something needs to change. When you become the provider, and that's the other thing. Have you become their provider versus God? You've replaced God for that purpose. And that's hard one to see. But when, and that's an ego thing for you, because I got to be there. Well, they have God. They really do, just like you and I. So when you become that person's provider and they almost look to you like God, that situation is out of balance.
Yeah, it's not healthy for either party, for any of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's another one, you know, that person you hear from three times a year, and every time you hear from them, it's, can you?
Yeah.
You know, here's another sign that you've been taking advantage of. What have you done for me lately? Have you heard that? They'll forget that you've helped them six times in the last year, and now you say no, and they get mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, something's wrong.
It is. And I think, and it's hard because nobody really wants to be confrontational. And most of the time we do things to avoid confrontation. But sometimes there is that time when you just have to say no. And I feel like it's great for them to say, okay, I can respect that. You know, whether, and sometimes you don't have it. Hey, no, I don't have it. Or no, I can't do that right now. And maybe you have it, but it's just not a good time for you to do that. When somebody is really, when they're giving grace to you is when they can say, okay, I understand that. Thanks anyway for listening.
And we have people who do that.
Right.
Who say, okay, well, we know you would if you could, and
yeah,
we appreciate it, and thank you for all the help you've done in the past. But when you run into that person who gets mad at you, when the tenth time you say no, something's wrong.
And then I feel like that is the time that you have to pray about it, and maybe they too. I can even respect a person when you told them no, they did get a little angry, but then they kind of had to talk with God and they come back to you later and say, hey, I'm sorry, I just really needed it.
Now that's real
grace. Yeah, that really is. And you have to forgive that person. We all have to have the mercy and grace to do that.
I have people in my life that I regularly keep an eye on because they are working hard. They've got kids. And I know their hearts, and I know what the things come up. And so I'll kind of keep an eye on them, you know, how's it going, you know. But these people never ask me.
And I have relatives that never ask. I want to give, almost basically because they don't ask.
And yeah.
I just feel that, you know, because of what they do, they are such a blessing to so many people. I want to give, or when somebody, I have relatives that are having a hard time, but they don't ask me. They just go about their way. They have not asked me.
And they do without. And they struggle.
Yeah, those are people God put, you know, something in their heart to give. And I think that is the best time to give when didn't even ask. What a much more...
We have a situation, and if anybody knows this really well, they can figure this out. It's okay. We try to be very discreet and confidential. But, you know, there are lots of folks out there now raising grandkids. Mm-hmm. They're on fixed incomes. And now they've got to take care of clothes and food, and, you know. And I will help those almost every time.
Yeah.
And I know they're not wasting their money. I know they're not being frivolous and, you know, whatever. They're raising kids. And you know, I want to be part of that ministry.
Right. And it's encouraging to look for opportunities to help. And that's anybody, parents, young parents that you know are struggling just to make ends meet.
Give them a gift.
We are saying that's great to them without even them asking, because you know the struggle is real. Single moms, that, you know, if there's a way you can give to help them in any kind of way, they're not even asking, but find those opportunities on the other flip side of that to give. And I feel like that's grace. That's just us extending God's grace to give something to somebody unexpectedly that they weren't expecting.
And I personally believe I have the gift of giving. And the reason I say that is because I have so much fun doing it. It is such a blessing to me. You know, and what's the most fun, and I've had this happen, is when you give anonymously. And, you know, and people just find this money that they hadn't counted on. And you'll run into them and go, let me tell you what happened to me. And you can sit there and go, yeah, that was fun, you know. I love giving, and I have to watch that and make sure what my motives are, and has God allocated that for something else?
Yeah, you know? I think that's where the wisdom of, I guess, God saying to us, be gentle with us. So that to me means have that softened heart, to be compassionate when needed, but be wise as a serpent, meaning almost know when to strike, you know, when to give, and
you kind.
And don't be kind. And I feel like that has nothing to do with us as Christians and the ministries that we do. Because even with in ministry, you can be kind. You know, I feel like churches sometimes be kind. There can be somebody to ask for help from the church every month.
Right.
And they have to sometimes say no, because it's a pattern, you know, you have to feel like, am I going to use my resources for this person that is always needing help? He's the only, so much so that I'm really neglecting other people that really might need that help. And that's something, you know, we should think about. Are you always giving to this person so much so that you can't really minister to other people?
Yeah, because God may want you to be doing something else with that, that cash or whatever the resource, or the car or whatever the resource is. You know, our home is open.
Yeah.
You know, we want to help people. I will not be surprised if a month from now there's not somebody in our house. You know, it wouldn't shock us, because, you know, we want to help people. And sometimes people just need some help. You know, I have a situation right now where I'm working with a young person, and The truth is this young person needed a little push. They needed a little, you know, because their nerve, you know, they're looking and they're trying to find the right place, and they just need a little accountability, you know. And so I get to minister to them through that.
Yeah. Yeah, so we do have to.
So let's go back to, I want to keep recapping.
Thank you.
So that you have what you need. And we have what we need, because believe me, we're listening too.
Every time.
Yeah.
It hits home almost every message we bring on Sunday. Not message, but every discussion. I feel like what we do is discuss sometimes things we're going through personally ourselves,
right,
and try to use the radio to work through it. So I feel like we are helped sometimes.
More than anybody.
Probably more than anybody in the audience. It hits home with us. But what was your first one to recognize?
Well, the first step is I personally, of course, is prayer.
Yeah.
But besides that, is, you know, look for the signs that, you know, is it periodic? Are they coming to you regularly? Are you their crutch? Whenever they get in a spot, they come to you. Well, then they need to grow up.
Yeah.
Just saying, you know.
Yeah.
That's one. The other one is that the only time you hear from them?
Yeah.
You know. Are they mad and forget all the other times you help them, and they're just mad because you're not helping them today?
And what is the reason? Why are you helping? What is their reason? What do they need? And what is your reason for helping them? What is your why? Why are you doing it? If you're doing it out of guilt, then that right there is an unbalancing act.
Right.
And you need to question yourself on whether or not this is really beneficial. Because usually guilt clouds your judgment.
And trust me, some of these folks are really, really good at telling the story. And so I've seen this too. And it's happened to me personally. I said no. And the next thing you know, I'm seeing Facebook posts and all kinds of stuff about what a rotten, da 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 da. You have to withstand that and just let it roll off.
And pretty much, and not it being tempted. Social media now is a good thing and a bad thing.
It can really be a tool to put pressure on people that's not fair.
But you know what? You can't take anything personally, and you have to move on. Somebody has to be the adult, and so let them say whatever they have to say.
Just ignore it.
And just ignore it and be done. Because really, once you start feeding into that, then it's a back and forth, and nobody's winning with that.
And you don't want to get into that.
Yeah.
It just gets ugly, and whatever. I don't want to be part of that drama. No, thank you. But now, let's take a moment. In case folks are out there going, well, gee, that doesn't sound very Christian, Dave, or biblical. Well, let me give you a few examples. First of all, it's all through the Old Testament about consequences and choices, all through. But let me tell you, Jesus, he was not afraid to say no. I mean, if you don't, go back and look at some of his confrontation with the religious authorities of his time. And I know that's a little different context, but I'm just saying he knew how to be tough when he needed to be tough and say what he needed to say when it needed to be said. One of my, I won't say favorites because it's not a very uplifting piece of scripture, but even Paul said, hey, enough is enough. I just give you over to your reprobate mind. You don't think that was tough love?
That is true. And God does want us to be good stewards of everything that we have. It's actually all that we have is His. So here's a couple of scriptures. Let's not even use our humanness. Let's talk about 1 Corinthians. Moreover, it requires stewards that they be found trustworthy. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For He has said, I will never leave or forsake you. And that can go both ways for you and for them, because if you're giving it out of I'll give it to you, then you're not really giving it out of the right heart anyway.
Here's another one. I'm glad you brought that up. And do you have another verse? You want to keep going with the verses?
Yeah, Well, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good work, and in your teaching, show integrity and dignity. That's Titus 2:7. So really, they're saying that, you know.
Well, here's another check. When you give, are you resentful? Are you, do you spend time just kind of feeling irritated and frustrated? Well, check your motives. Check, you know, what's going on there, because there's a good chance you're not giving with a cheerful heart, with freedom, you know, and so you kind of have to watch that. It's a tough one, guys. You know?
It is a tough one, and I feel like that's when wisdom comes in, that you do see God for the wisdom of how to do it. But when you start feeling used by somebody, that's a good sign. You have to listen to also the nudgings of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
When you feel like you're being used, when you don't feel like it's a gift anymore, that they're counting on this, like this is a part of their income, then those are signs and nudging from the Holy Spirit. When you feel like, oh, really?
Again?
Yeah. Your spirit is in writing, giving, and really, I feel like those sometimes are nudging, that this isn't the right motive for either one of you, when there's no balance in the giving.
Right.
God wants us to have balance, and I feel like we as Christians need to get beyond the guilt. God has freed us from all of that. You know, the guilt, I'm not a good Christian, I'm not a good person. Let it go. Be who God called you to be. We are kings and queens, priests, holy priests. Accept and walk in that role.
And it doesn't matter what it looks like to the world.
Mm-hmm.
You are prince and princesses. You are son of the Most High God.
Right.
You know, regardless, maybe you're not wearing the best clothes and the fanciest car, but God will take care of us. And I know that's so easy for me to say, because we're not really struggling. I mean, don't misunderstand. We're not independently wealthy.
No.
You know, we're working and we've got great jobs and everything. But I do trust that no matter what comes, God will see us through. And we need to teach others that as well, and share that. So here's the other thing. Let me say this too. And this is kind of the flip side. If you give and you think that gives you the right and privilege to direct the activity of others, you might want to check.
Well, because that's manipulation on your part.
Right. So
there are people that give.
I'll give, but you've got to do this.
Yeah. So you can hold over and manipulate other people. Anywhere manipulation, that's a tool of the enemy. And people have to accept that. That is not of God. Manipulation is not, that's witchcraft. Basically, people don't always want to see that. But when you have to manipulate somebody to do what you want to do, it's a tool of the enemy. And one of the things with witchcraft is it manipulates people or things to get what they want. So you definitely are using, being used by the enemy when you manipulate to get your way.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, you know, here's one of the things, and Linda and I talked about this. I'm 61 years old, and I'm grateful to be 61, because one of the things is that I learned how to recognize these things. I know how it works, and I've had enough experience, you know, to see, no, this isn't the way this should be. Or, you know, it is okay to have some accountability.
It is great.
You know, to say, I'm going to invest or share with you, but I want to see a return.
Yeah.
What I want to see you doing better.
Well, if somebody asks you for the money, I think it's fair to say, well, what will you be using it for? Because do you want to be a part of it like that? That was that
right.
First one. Do you want to be a part of that? And so as a good steward of the finances or whatever God has talented you with, do you want to be a part of whatever they're going through? It's this from the scriptures is that do not be deceived. I'll read that again. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins with morals.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's in the word. So that's talking about, do you want to be a part of it? Because sometimes when people are trying to manipulate to get where you get them or get you to do what they want to do, they're deceiving you. And,
right.
And is this morally, is this something you want to be a part of?
Right. So let's take the addict, and they're an addict. And, they may take your $10 or whatever and go spend it on groceries, but what they really did was then they have $10 they can go spend on something else.
Right.
And you're still a part of it, folks.
Right.
And you need to look at that and ask yourself. Here's the other thing. If you want to give and you have a heart to give and to serve, and giving can be time, it can be.
Yeah, that's not
exactly. It doesn't always have to be money. There are plenty of opportunities. go find your church and find where they're supporting a community or give to that fund.
Right.
Mission
trip, young people going on mission trips. We are encouraging people to give, and we are encouraging people to extend grace to your fellow man.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also saying be wise with that giving, that there are people who do manipulate your kindness.
Right.
And to be aware of that. God has called us to be good stewards, to walk. We are light and salt of the earth. Light illuminates the darkness. So there will be darkness sometimes when you step in certain situations. You are the light. And so you can't illuminate or if you're not wise.
Yeah. One of my struggles in this situation is realizing and looking and knowing that the person who is coming to me has had a hard time.
Yeah.
And does not have all the tools that I have, And sometimes they're going to fail.
Yeah.
And you can't always say, it's a balance there. It's tough.
And I think that's another good thing is a balance in that relationship. If you want to help people, we want to encourage them, we want to uplift them, but we also are not God.
And they need to be accountable to themselves and to God personally. And if you're just rescuing them every time, they're not going to experience the faith that grows from trusting in God.
And pretty much that's it. It's really not in anything
And we have these situations, so we're not speaking of what we have not experienced and are dealing with today.
Situation where,
you've been on the other side.
I've been on the other side, and I've been on the side when I've given so much to people that when I needed it, there would be no one. So I had no other choices but to provide for myself because it wouldn't be anybody. Because
you knew there was nobody you could go to that could just give you $100 bill.
Right.
Whatever.
God always provided. And that's one of the things I think that happened through that trial was that I knew I had nobody else in the end to really go to and say, hey, I need. Well, I had my mom and stuff, so I won't say that. But after she passed, it was very few people that I could go to. There are some people I could have went to. But a lot of times I just did it on my own because I didn't want to bother them or whatever. And sometimes I did without, or the girls sometimes. It's been times that they've done without, too. But God always provided. And I think that what grew me up the most was learning to trust God when I didn't see how I was going to get or have. I thank God for the journey that I would believe that God, somehow I know you're going to provide, and I don't know how, and he always did.
Right.
So, I would have almost not grown to develop that kind of trust.
Faith.
When you don't have anybody else to depend on but self, there is a measure of faith when you can't go to anybody.
And the only person you can get to is the Lord, and you just say, Lord, I don't see how this is going to work out. I don't have money in the bank. I got bills to pay. Lord, help.
I have been there. Like, I don't see it. I don't know how, but I know you're going to provide.
And you survived.
I survived.
And you had to, it wasn't easy.
No.
And maybe you had to do without, and sometimes you had to eat some humble pie.
And sometimes I did.
But you made,
I did. Well, sometimes it was being provided for me. He would provide, literally.
You've got some great stories.
Yeah, there were times that I didn't have the money for food or whatever. And one of my girlfriends, I love my little pack of girlfriends, was, hey, I made too much food. Why don't you come over?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it happens all the time. God will take care of his own.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sounds kind of trite,
mm-hmm.
But I also believe it. I really
mm-hmm.
believe it. Now, that doesn't mean you won't go through some tough times.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
You'll go through
it. It's not, I don't want to get on that soapbox. That's another topic for another day. And that is, we are in this world. We are not of this world, but we are in this world.
Yeah,
yeah. In this world, you will have struggles.
And to say that you won't. And it's not that we won't have the struggles, but how will you come through it? That's what builds character, dignity, wisdom. Because I tell you, once you fall on your face a couple of times, eventually you're going to say, well, that didn't work.
I think I need
another place. Yeah.
And faith.
And faith.
Yeah. You know, I want to, I call it endurance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, endurance. And you just learn to how to endure sometimes. It's all you can do.
Well, and I feel like those are qualities, though we don't want to go through them, but those are the qualities that we need to be in this world.
That's
faith.
God molding and
God.
Making
yes.
and conforming us to the image of his son, who had nothing
right.
on this earth.
Right.
He did not have a house. He didn't have property, you know, et cetera, et cetera. He didn't have a place to lay his head, and he was content. And he knew he was being used, and he had a mission. We have a mission. I have a mission, and it's real simple. My mission is to glorify the Lord my God. And wherever I am, and that means even in a struggle, that I can still say to someone sitting next to me watching me go through it, I trust God.
Well, how many times have people that you've seen go through a struggle, and I'm not talking about myself, but it's been people that I've seen, well, being a hospitalist, just seeing people lose their loved ones before their eyes, and they still laugh and have good times, and their prayer and their faith is increased. It's because they had to go through that.
They probably had a history.
And the favorite of those is older couples that have been together for 60-plus years. And I have seen husbands and wives see their loved one go and lovingly, and they're at peace. And they'll say things. I had one just this week that said, hey, honey, I'll see you soon.
Wow.
And just give the best little kiss and send her off. And that person, because of how they handled that with such dignity and grace, glorified God. Uplifted me and about six other people. We were in tears, but that just did our heart good. About 10, because we all talked about it actually.
Yeah,
how to have that kind of love that you, hey, honey, I see you soon.
Wow.
And give his wife a kiss.
Well,
and go
there's
on.
A faith statement there.
Yeah.
You know, yes, I believe in heaven.
Yeah.
Yes, I believe you're going to a better place. I can let you go.
Yeah.
You know, those are, wow, that's cool. And Linda has great stories. One of these days, I'm going to get her to tell stories, but she's so careful about the confidentiality.
Yeah, I am very careful with that. But, you know, it's just sometimes we get blessed by seeing somebody meet the struggle and the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what I was trying to say. You are encouraged from that. You then learn how to meet and how to go through a struggle or courage. And you don't know how that.
Keep your faith.
And keep your faith. And you don't know how that could be. He wasn't doing that for show.
No.
He really meant that from his heart. But I know he touched at least 10 people that day.
He glorified God.
He glorified God.
This man had to be a Christian.
Without a doubt. He is. I do know that. Yeah.
Had to be. I mean, only Christians can really. Not just Christians, but spiritually, minded, trusting, believing God, walk by faith people, and say those kind of things and have peace.
And he did.
And
you know
he really meant it.
Oh, It was. And I think that she could be released knowing that.
So back to our topic here. Sometimes your help is getting in the way of God working on somebody.
Sometimes your help impedes growth.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe that's the best way to put it.
Sometimes God is growing people up. And when every time you go in, you're just interfering with the growth process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I could be wrong. You're not helping. Just like the moth to the butterfly. If you mess with the moth during that period of development, you can kill the moth. So sometimes God is taking people through a series of things to take them to another level.
Growing their wings.
Have impeded that growth because you have stepped in the way.
Right.
So we have to be careful about impeding the growth of our. Isn't that great when you allow people and you send them off lovingly to grow in the Lord?
So I want to go back to something Linda said earlier and emphasize it again. But those, you know, maybe you're at a place where you're good at recognizing.
Yeah.
And you've had experience and you kind of see the signs and you know when you're being taken for a ride. Oh, but maybe you're a younger person who's not had those experiences. Find a counselor.
Yeah.
Find somebody, you know, if you don't have a friend that you can go to, find a pastor. Find, you know, go talk to your church people, you know, and ask for some guidance and some input.
Like you said, people that you trust, you know, count on that wisdom. And sometimes when you see the pattern, a good time to go, because if you're just in that place, well, I just don't understand. Are they taking advantage or am I helping them? So sometimes having that third party look at the whole situation and say,
I do want to, here's a word of encouragement. And this was, I'm going to tell the story so you understand the context. I used to fly in and out of an airport. Across the street from the airport was a convenience store, and at the convenience store, I could count on it. There were people outside panhandling. And I got out one day, and this guy hits me up, and I'm like, you know, I don't usually give to those folks. But for some reason, I felt led, and so I gave him a couple dollar bill. You know, not a big deal. And I walked through the store thinking, what a fool. You know, I can't believe I did that. Why did I do that? And the Lord came to me and said, Dave, it doesn't matter what they do with that $2. It matters what your heart was when you gave it. So for those folks who may have felt like they've been taken advantage of, here's the good news. God still credits you with the giving. You know, because he looks at your heart. Now, he wants you to be smart, and he wants you to learn, and he wants you to be discerning. The good news is, if you're giving with the right motive, it's never really wrong.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I do feel that really wrong. I do feel like when you give out of a loving heart, you're just giving. I do give to sometimes panhandlers, and I don't really worry about what they do with it. You know, and
that's not your problem.
It's not my problem. I gave out of a loving heart. Me and my daughter had a conversation. She does that too. She'll give, and she gives out of a loving heart. And I feel like that we are called to give and to do, but I also feel on the other side of that is that we are called to be good stewards.
Right.
And what we're talking about on the other side of that is to continue to love and give and be supportive to people. But when your kindness is being taken as a weakness and you feel that in your heartstrings, in your mind, that is when you're not always helping the person, you're hurting the person.
And again, folks, it's not easy. You have to overcome your own voice or that of the enemy telling you what a rotten, selfish person you are because you want to help this person. You have to put up with the culture of others going, well, you got it. Why aren't you helping?
Well, you know,
there's all kinds
of things. When you discuss with them, like there's some that you can say that, but there are a lot of people when you discuss the situation would be like, when you're gay.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm just saying that we've been raised. Maybe I should own this. I was raised that if you're a Christian, you always sacrifice for everybody else. And there's a lot of truth to that, but you also have to have some wisdom in the application of that. And you know.
I just feel like God is growing us up as the body of Christ.
Amen.
That, you know, even just as we have personal growth, our own personal growth, God grows up the body of Christ. So things that worked in the 50s, 60s, 70s are not applicable to today. And a lot of times I feel like Christians get stuck in an error when, you know, we have to grow past that. You know what I'm saying? So some of the teachings that we got in those eras, particularly the 60s and 70s, were not really correct.
Well, personally, I believe I was taught all the right principles. I was not taught the application very well.
Okay, and that's fair. And okay. I think that in that era, you know, we're aging ourselves, but let's go for it because we're aged.
Sure.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So we're in between their 50 to 70 in those eras.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the body of Christ also was growing. There were a lot of growing pains in those years.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So some of the thinking of the times that maybe your parents or that era, generation of your Sunday school teachers and stuff, some of the principles that they taught us were timeless. They were biblical and they were sound. But some
the
of the things and the application of those things were not biblically sound. And some of that was the lack of education on their part, too, even in the Word. So,
and this is the way we always did it. You know,
yeah.
Is that my mom did? Is that my dad
yeah.
did? Is that we used to do? You know, and you have to, you know, I and another very close friend of mine are going through this where we're rethinking applications, you know, and by that I mean, for example, the second. You know, Jesus said the first greatest command is love the Lord your God with all your heart, and the second is likened to the first, love your neighbor as yourself. And we start looking at that going, well, it doesn't say if. There's no if in
there,
that verse.
And I feel like
if they're heterosexual,
right?
If they're Protestant, if they're whatever.
If they look just like me or they don't.
Exactly. It says love.
Yeah,
period.
Exactly.
And I'm re-looking, and I'm asking myself about the church and our churches today. Are we doing that? And I know that it's controversial. I'll be the first to admit it, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But, well, Miss Linda, we're down to 1 minute and 36 seconds. I think we need to wrap. What do you think?
Okay, I think we do.
And she looks at her phone.
And I'm, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so guys, don't be stupid. And maybe I should have said foolish. Yeah, stupid sounds so hard. You know, think about it. Do a practical. Here's a practical. Is it a good investment?
It definitely is.
And the return may not be physical or financial, but seeing growth in this person in some form. You know, am I helping them in their ministry? You know, maybe it is a regular gift because I want to regularly be part of this. You know, there's nothing wrong with that if you feel led. But there are folks who will take advantage of you, and we've given you some of the signs to look for, and we hope that you will pray and ask the Lord to give you wisdom and discernment and be able to tell the difference between a con and a real neek.
That's true.
You know? So I think you've been closing in prayer lately. I'll close today,
okay.
If that's okay. Lord, we thank you that we are so blessed that we can. You have been generous with us. And everything we have is yours. And that's step one. Step two is, Lord, tell us, show us, lead us, guide us. When we make mistakes, teach us, help us to have empathy and sympathy and love and kindness and generosity mixed with wisdom and discernment. And help us to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. And then, Lord, finally help us to have the freedom that if we've made a mistake, we just learn from it. You're not mad at us. You're not upset with us. You know, it was a learning experience. Lord, I just thank you that we can count on you,
yes,
that we can give,
yes,
and know that we're going to be okay.
Yes.
You've got us. I mean, bottom line is, when I die, I go to heaven. I win. One way or the other, I'm going to win. And I thank you, Lord. I just thank you.
Yeah.
Linda, do you want to add anything?
No, just thank you guys for another Sunday spending with us, and hope to see you soon, and hope everybody has a very blessed and bountiful week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.